All right, Jim Taylor back on WRMJ. We were up in Savannah, Illinois recently, and I tell you, ran into one of the great Cinderella stories in IHSA high school wrestling history back in 1979. There was a wrestler from Savannah, Illinois, by the name of Jack Nichols that I think was 13-15 at one time of the season and really got hot at the right time and eventually won a state wrestling title. So we're going to let kind of Jack take us back to 1979. And I know you told me off the air, Jack, that you took a lot of lumps that season early, but wrestled when it counted.
I won my last two challenge matches is by 1 and 2 points to Todd Ferris. I barely made the team. That was my senior year. And I was 13-15 going into districts, what we call regionals now. So I had to win regionals or districts to break 500.
You did that, and you get to the sectional at the time, and you lose a match there, but are still able to qualify for state. And then eventually down the road, you run into the rematch at the state tournament and are able to pick up the victory.
I lost to Tony and Garen from Riverdale at the sectionals, were the Riverdale sectionals. I lost to Tony in the finals. And I lost to their JV kid earlier in the year in a dual meet. And I lost to Yorkville's JV kid earlier in the year. But I beat the Yorkville kid in the semifinals by 1 point. Right, they're a varsity wrestler in the semifinals of state. And then Tony and I had a rematch in the finals, and I beat him by a point.
So you had a couple of JV losses during the regular season.
Well, they were varsity losses, two JV kids that didn't make the varsity.
And you win some challenge matches and get in the lineup. And I think you told me, too, that the season started for you with three straight losses. So how did you persevere through all that?
Well, as, number one, my mom wouldn't have let me quit, so there was no quitting. We wrestled Rock Island High School. Cedar Rapids Jefferson was our first double duel. And then we had the Dubuque tournament the next Saturday, and I was 0-3 coming out of the gates of first matches I wrestled in the season.
And you stay with it. I mean, where did you think you kind of turned it around, or were you? And you told the story. I was at an event where you spoke at that. You really gave credit to your teammates who kind of pushed you in the wrestling room. That's what it boils down to a lot.
I had so many good quality wrestlers and alumni that were good wrestlers before coming back and practicing and pushed me along. I think when I lost to Tony and Garen in the sectionals, when I came off the mat, I remember Charlie grabbed me and he said, "You're as good as any wrestler in the state. Not better, just as good." And I kind of always felt Tony and Garen was an excellent wrestler. He was like 31-0 or 31-1, something like that. Excellent wrestler. They wrestle good, stiff competition to AA schools. And I kind of always felt bad for Tony because he was such a good wrestler, and I just beat him under the wire at the end.
And I think the one thing your story tells us is that you have to learn from losing, because if you don't learn from losing, you're gonna keep on losing. So how much did you learn from losing, do you think?
You learn to keep your positive attitude, and you just got to keep running and practicing and working at it.
Well, and I guess to tell us what your emotions were, you know. 13-15, you lose your three first matches. You go into districts. I don't know if you think mentally, am I going to get a chance to get to the Grand March? I know Savannah had a proud history back then in wrestling, and I know you probably saw a lot of kids get there. But what was it in your wildest dreams that you thought you would be at the Grand March and then they would raise your right hand at the end of that Saturday night state title?
Every Savannah wrestler dreams about being in the state tournament. That's was our thing back then. We had number one team in the state. We were team champions that year, too. I got to go up and get the team trophy. We won 6 team titles under Charlie Anderson, my coach. He had 18 individual champions, and I'm not sure how many seconds and thirds. So, you know, I couldn't have been surrounded by a better team, and if I would have been on any other team in the state, I don't think I'd have done nearly as well.
And I think the other thing that you bring up, I think that is so important from a coaching standpoint, coaches have to kind of deal with losing too. They can't give up on a kid. How important was that, do you think?
Well, then there's, I think a lot of coaches don't keep in mind that a young athlete between a sophomore and a senior, they get their mature strength, no matter if it's basketball, wrestling, football, track, doesn't matter. The athlete, he's young, you know, he matures physically and mentally both. I've been coaching for a number of years now, and you really have to give the kid a chance to mature and meet his potential and encourage that. So many people are, you know, like, well, he'll never be good enough to make the team, you know, why try? Well, that's not a very good attitude to have.
Well, and you told one of your colleagues here tonight told a great story about when you won. One of the first things you did was you called one of your friends. Yeah, and tell us that story. Who the person was again, and tell us that story.
Steve Ramirez was in the Navy, and he was, I'm not sure where he was at, but somebody had his phone number, and they, right, Savannah, and he used to come back into practice when he was home on leave and help out with the team, and now he's our assistant coach. He told me when I was a sophomore, because I worked so hard and I tried so hard, that someday I would be a state champion. He was the only guy when I was a sophomore that told me that.
And he told a story tonight that when you called him, you said you just won a state title, and he said, his response was, who was I talking to? And you got to run back to the post.
Who is this? He said, who is this? Who is this?
And what did it feel like to get the medal and all that when it all ended?
It was cool. I mean, there was, I was told there were 16,000 people there that night, and I was an underdog. I mean, most of the people in the state tournament are undefeated, only maybe have one or two losses on their record. You know, I had like 16 losses on my record, so, which actually made it easier in a lot of ways, because I didn't have the, nobody was gunning for me. Nobody was saying, that's the guy I have to beat. So they kind of just look past you like, well, you know, look at his record. You know, he's not going to do anything.
Well, but you won the state title, and we've talked about the era we live in today, the reset era with video games. When you're losing as a kid, you reset, you start over. In 1979, you couldn't really reset and start over after 15 losses.
Right. And the other thing is, too, now everybody gets a medal. Everybody's a winner. They don't have a first or second place. Everybody's a winner. They don't keep score in a lot of sports now, little peewee leagues and stuff. They don't keep score, and it's like, well, somebody has to win and somebody has to lose, and I think we've lost something in the last 15 or 20 years here where, you know, it's good to be a winner, but, you know, you can be a gracious winner too. It doesn't have to be all about the record and stuff, but things have changed so much in the last 20 years. It's just tough to get kids to go out for any kind of sports. And I used to try to steal the wrestlers away from the basketball team, or a basketball good kid that was good in basketball when I was coaching when I was younger, would try to encourage him to come out for wrestling instead. And now I'm just in the mode where if he's out for any sport, I'm happy. Wrestling, basketball, football, doesn't matter. They need to get off their butt and get out there and do some sports.
And I told you jokingly when we were talking tonight at this coaches event in Savannah, Illinois, that, you know, you can call it a Cinderella story, and I even said, well, you can call it, you know, the true life Rocky Balboa story, and I think 1979 is when that movie kind of came out. Do you think it's a fair kind of comparison to you?
I was not predicted to win, you know, and it was a neat experience, you know. I mean, when I think back on it, when I think back on it, it wasn't like when I was doing it. It's totally different. And we just took it one match at a time and got my head straight for every match and, you know, keyed up on my opponent and knew what I had to do. I had a good coach.
And what message do you have for the youth of today when things aren't going well? I mean, that's the big thing, from a coaching standpoint. What message can they relay to the kid to make sure he stays on the path and stays out and doesn't give up after losing 15 matches or whatever, and maybe he's not playing enough in basketball or football? What's the message to get that kid to stay out and maybe something can change?
Well, and they've got their whole life to do other things. You know, I'm a hunter and a fisherman, love the outdoors, but my parents made sure that I knew that there'd be later in life to do those kind of things. And when you got the opportunity to be out for sports in high school, junior high level, high school, that you should be doing that, because you never get to go back and do it over. So I really think that's important, and way too much time on video games and that kind of stuff.
In what weight class in 1979?
126.
126. It was a pleasure meeting Jack Nichols tonight up in Savannah, Illinois. A great story in 1979, 13-15 heading into the districts, and by the end of the wrestling season, the individual state champ. Quite a story. What a year 1979 was. Thanks for talking to us.
And teen state, too.
Well, nice meeting you. Thanks for helping us.
Nice meeting you, too, Jim.
Jack Nichols, again, the 1979 state champ at 126 pounds in Class A, just like yesterday, joining us on WRMJ.